Good evening, dear friends, and welcome. All of your presences are a great blessing to us. So it is wonderful to be with you again this week. Our Christ candle is lit as the symbol of the light that is always in the world, that is burning in each of us and radiating out into our world, beckoning to us to come forth even more, to listen and to hear, to awake and to die, yielding ourselves and allowing ourselves to be reborn into something new. We know that our shared intention matters for ourselves, for one another, and for the world, for all creation. So this evening is a special evening because we're going to celebrate that on July 19th, 1884, in the small town of Kelso, Scotland, a most extraordinary human being was born. Henry Maurice Dunlop Nicol. So he would have been 106 in a couple of days. We owe him everything. I've spoken before about Dr. Nicol and his wife and their repeated renunciations that they had to make during the course of their work life and what they had to undergo. His secretary, who was Burl Pogson, once remarked that these repeated acts of renunciation were not viewed by them as any kind of deprivation, rather as opportunities that could lead to something new. So that tells us a great deal about our own lives. Truly, Maurice Nicol was a remarkable man, very learned, very cultured, able to discern the thoughts of hearts, and then to be able to articulate them so artfully on paper. And at the same time, he was a three-centered human being, a full human being. So I thought I would just share a few anecdotes because we don't hear very much about the little details of his personal life. And although Mr. Nicol was extremely accomplished and well-educated, Mr. Gurdjieff assigned tasks to each person who came to the Institute in France, tasks that were focused on working against much of our personality traits and preferences, as well as allowing us, everyone, to be embodied in the three centers. So some of the tasks that Maurice Nicol was given was to wash the dishes every day. And the dishes, sometimes there were hundreds of them, based on the people who were there, were often, they had to be washed without any soap and even without any hot water until they were clean. He was given the task from time to time to clean out the pigsty. And then at the end of the day, it was their custom to come in and clean up and put on, in his case, a suit and tie and sit down for the daily teaching, which often ran after midnight, and then get up the next day and do the same thing again and again and again. So many years later, when he and his wife, Catherine, had work groups, he would often remind the students that it was a serious error to imagine that they were in any way special. So that's also something for us to think about. And in the light of being a three-centered, full human being, very often in his own work groups, in the evenings, they would spend their time sewing and cross-stitching and carving statues or stair posts or whatever needed to be done. And the men as well as the women. He was big on working with your hands, feeling the earth, touching the earth, embodying it. And in fact, it is said that he liked to wear shoes that were very thin-soled so that when he walked around, he can more deeply feel the earth. So I'll close our little stories about him with a special one. It is said that one day, everyone was looking for him because it was time for one of the classes, and no one could find him. Instead, they found him in the garden with his granddaughter, Isabel. Isabel was one at the time. And when the person came to find him, he simply looked up and said, "She remembers more than I do." And then he went to teacher's class. So it is with deep gratitude and delight that we honor Maurice Nicol. And we stand by some mysterious stroke of destiny in his great and direct lineage. So now we prepare to listen deeply in our own way, in our inmost being, to receive a direct sea influence, if you will, directly, without any mediation, without going through other people's words, and just sense the truth and the goodness of what is being offered by the transmission that we receive. The revelation even that we receive from our time together. That the word may flesh, may dwell in our own hearts and manifest. So with feet on the floor and minds alert and hearts open, we breathe in the breath of life, this precious life, and we breathe out healing goodness into our world. We hand over the complexities of our day, knowing they are gifts, and we hand over our plans for tomorrow, knowing that they will be addressed in the fullness of time. We hand over the anxieties and the small fears of our hearts, knowing that they are known by the one who can do something about them. I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down on my own. And I stand unencumbered before God and one another. I will share our Lexio Divina screen with you now and read it in a passage from this week's email three times. How are we listening through the lens of the work? What are we receiving? What is coming to reach us? Following the time of reading, there'll be a time of sharing. My father is still working, and I also am working. As long as it is day, we must do what the one who sent me wants me to do. When night comes, no one can work. How is it to be with us? It is not enough to say I wish to serve. I must be able to serve. Or I'll serve when it suits me, because it works out that we have to serve just when it does not suit us. Watch and pray, for ye know not the hour nor the day when the Son of Man cometh. We have to be like the air and let everything take us. Deny ourselves to nothing. Let everything be transmitted through us. My father is still working, and I also am working. As long as it is day, we must do what the one who sent me wants me to do. When night comes, no one can work. How is it to be with us? It is not enough to say I wish to serve. I must be able to serve. Or I'll serve when it suits me, because it works out that we have to serve just when it does not suit us. Watch and pray, for ye know not the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. We have to be like the air and let everything take us. Deny ourselves to nothing. Let everything be transmitted through us. My father is still working, and I also am working. As long as it is day, we must do what the one who sent me wants me to do. When night comes, no one can work. How is it to be with us? It is not enough to say I wish to serve. I must be able to serve. Or I'll serve when it suits me, because it works out that we have to serve just when it does not suit us. Watch and pray, for ye know not the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. We have to be like the air and let everything take us. Deny ourselves to nothing. Let everything be transmitted through us. You're now invited to share what you received from this passage. And it will be a gift to all of us. Tom Parker, please.
Normally, these passages just kind of go by me, and when it gets all over with, I haven't received much. I appreciated all of it, but I haven't received much. But this one, we must be like the air and let everything move us. I realize so often I'm trying to run the show, my show, and sometimes I seem to be fighting against myself, trying to get things done the way I think they all should be done. And in the long run, usually everything turns out just fine, most frequently without a lot of help from me. And that made me think of the work aphorism, cannot do, we can just work. And so I'm reminded of something that I heard once when somebody was criticized for growing a beard. And his response was, you know, when I was about 15 years old, God put little tiny hairs on my face and I cut them off. And then he kept doing it every day and I kept cutting them off. And finally, I just decided to let God have his own way. So that's what I need to do.
It's wonderful, Tom. Thank you. Thank you for that delightful insight. Alice Bell, please.
I heard, watch and pray, for you know not the hour that the Son of Man cometh. And when I took that to heart, I realized that so many times my attention is not on watching and praying for the Son of Man to come. The eyes come up in me that that put off my daily practice or reading the commentaries are other things that would bring me to watch and praying for the Son to come. It is my wish that I would more frequently watch and pray. Thank you.
May it be so, Alice. Thank you. Tamara, please.
Yes, so what I heard from that was, first of all, the capital W work, which was really wonderful to hear that. And then also, when it said, you're asleep, you cannot work. And so I couldn't decide whether that was when you're asleep, physically asleep, or you're asleep, you know, you're being mechanical. But it reminded me of how many times I think I can't work because I'm doing other things. And by the end of the day, I think, well, I didn't really work today. but I was reading volume 3 in the commentaries the other day, and he said that even if you're doing daily tasks, like cooking dinner, you can work. And he said in the commentaries, it said that you can non-identify with the meal that you're making, which I tend to do. And also he said that if other people put portions into the meal that you don't agree with, that you can notice the negative emotions and not let those enter. So it was, it's a great way for me to realize that you can work. You can always work.
Could always work.
So just keep working. I hope I can just remind myself to, you can always work.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for that. Anyone else? Yes, Tracy. Tracy Greiner, please.
Hi. I heard serve, and it reminded me of many of my identities that associate serving with doing. And yet, this week, I spent a lot of time observing the unpleasant manifestations of myself and realizing that that was a way of serving. And and so there's many ways to serve.
There are many ways. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you. It's nice to see you. Leslie, please.
Hi. I was taken with the image, the picture of the seeds, and maybe you can show it again, or it is on our email. And then I saw the red, the fire, that the burning fire of that love of the work and the seeds. It's just incredible. Who picked that? How did that happen? that it just goes perfectly with our who we are and what we're doing. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. It's wondrous how these things happened, isn't it? They come to us. They come to us. Thank you, Leslie. It's good to have you with us. Anyone else? Yes, Patsy Fordyce.
Hi there.
Hi, Patsy.
Hi. I am here. I heard every time you cannot work at night. But when night comes and it's dark and all, it you're over, the free working. And so I had all these justifications going on, saying, well, I'm a night owl, and I'll work when I want to work, and when I'm available to work, and all this, you know, and they had candles, they could have used them. We have electric lights. I just heard so much that was, you know, pure nothing to accept justification, and real aware that that's not the point. That was not the point at all. It's the same point as washing dishes. You can work any time that you are available, alive, and that you also can choose some times. You can make some times available for yourself. That all that was just my own personal preference showing up and a lot of mechanicalness there. That could be observed. So it was every time that you read that, it hit me again. And so I will enjoy that very much and appreciate it. And it will contribute a lot to my work.
Very good. Thank you, Patsy. Jill, please. And Jill will be our last one in the sharing of this portion.
I heard, let everything be transmitted through us. And my aim today had to do with transforming incoming impressions, taking things in a new way, and the everything being transmitted through us is what really got me. It's not just that I take in selectively things that feel good or that I want to hear or want to see, take them all in. And that's my role, is to transform them through the work, through prayer, by giving it all to God into something new. Thank you.
Thank you, Jill. And thank you, everyone, for sharing. It was a rich feast that you gave us. So as we move into the next portion of our evening, we continue in the study of humanity. And we have moved from our unlimited capacities of conscience and consciousness into their fulfillment by means
Lori, it looks like we lost Marianne again, so would you take over?
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Marianne, and thank you for everyone sharing. Can you hear me? Good. Okay. Let's move into the sharing. Let's share the homework for last week, or share the document. So before we share, I wanted to give us an opportunity to ponder just briefly the little note that we got about sharing in the work. And really sharing in the work is an act of conscious labor and intentional suffering, sharing as a fool for the work. This is you can move down, Pamela. Thank you. So here's the fool card, and I saw online a description of the fool card from Mr. Uspensky, and it says, the fool seems to represent, at least in part, the transcendental consciousness of which, at the beginning of our journey, we are more or less oblivious, but which, by the grace of God, is realized or recognized during the course of our pilgrimage. So we are on the journey, and we have this pack. If you will move down, Pamela. Thank you. So the fool carries with him the symbols of his true identity, although he has long since forgotten what they mean. Nevertheless, they belong to him, even though he does not know their use. They've not lost their power. They retain it in themselves. And this reminded me of our understanding that we have all these potentialities that we may or may not be aware of. We have a real eye. We have the potential of tapping into higher centers, real will, real conscience. And so as we share as a fool for the work, some suggestions are to pray before class, and when you raise your hand, feel your feet on the floor and pray for the highest good for your participation. Pray for others as they share. And this goes for the abbess and the work leaders. And I would also say that this goes for our participation on Sunday in either of the services. Pray for the people who are holding center. Pray for Pamela and Lexio. Pray for Peter and Marianne. Pray for Dawn and Deborah and Billy and Sue. And pray for our blessed brother Jeff, who is the man behind the curtain helping the technology come to us. When we arrive and pray, we are doing more than just receiving an influence from a screen as we do so often during the day. We are sending our connection out to one another, and we are building this conscious church, this conscious usness that is ever so useful for these times and for all times. So courage, the little note mentioned courage. So we share without regard to outcome, and we non-identify with the eyes that say, you're not ready, you're going to get it all wrong, you don't know what you're talking about, you're too new. We share with boldness. We step out into the void and we share. We non-identify. And we non-critically self-observe, non-identify, and self-remember in all three centers while sharing. And after, because this will come up after you share, you will have an opportunity to see some eyes and non-identify with them that you weren't aware of. And we also do this conscious participation, non-critically self-observing, non-identifying, and self-remembering while others share. And this is a beautiful way that we can participate in everyone's sharing. We keep our sharing brief, to the point, without story and without identifying references to others. And of course, we can understand the brevity because we have so many people that might want to share, and we keep it to the point and without story. Because if we start getting into, well, then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened, the likelihood is that an eye is going to come in and grab the microphone and start wanting to be seen as the good one, justified in how they feel, the right one, wanting to be seen in a good light and to be smart or whatever it is. So we keep it to the point. We keep it without story. And without identifying references to others, because it, for one thing, because of privacy issues, but for another thing, because we're sharing about our own work. One way to do this is if you need to mention that another person was involved in this understanding, that you could say, someone I see often, or someone near and dear to me. Or someone, well, those two pretty much cover it all. Or if it's someone out in the world, just I ran into someone. So we can keep it very clean that way. And there's a phrase in the work that I learned very early on. We want to keep the sharing on our own bones. And so sharing in this way is conscious labor and intentional suffering. So we can move to the next part. So sharing our homework for the past week on conscience and consciousness. And it came from this beautiful quotation that's only partially here. The rest of it is in the email from Maurice Nickel. Dr. Nickel talks about one such thing in the purest part of your understanding. So we are looking for this pearl, this moment that we are aware that we do something for the good of it without regard to outcome. Obeying in secret the knowledge that has formed the lamp in him. It is our making oil for our lamp. It is just here that everyone is free. It is just here that everyone can evolve. And so this is, he describes as a pearl. And you can move down, Pamela. Practice one such act, and then another, and then another. Treasure your string of pearls. what thoughts, feelings, and sensations were evolved, and is there a pattern to what is occurring? So we can raise our hands if we'd like to share and participate in courageous, conscious suffering and intentional labor. I see that Todd and then Tamara.
Well, that was a nice invitation to try and share. So let me go ahead with that. So this week in pondering about conscience and reading about it, one of the things in the email that it talked about was how conscience is in the emotional part of the emotional center, and it's hidden and it's buried, and that's how it felt to me. And a lot of things in the work are hidden and take some digging to get to. And I wasn't sure that I'd ever really experienced real conscience, but in reading more of the commentaries about it, one of the things that really helped me was reading that one of the ways to start accessing real conscience is through the emotional part of the intellectual center. And that if we have a valuation of the work, if we see the truth of it, and if we see the good in it and basically practice it, that will help to start open and unlock, you know, the real conscience for us in the emotional part of the emotional center. And that just seemed like a real practical thing for me to be able to do, to try to start working in the direction of real conscience. So on a practical basis, one of the things that I worked on this week was self-observing my speech and how I talk and what I say. And one of the big things that came pretty quickly to me in all of that was how often I tell lies. And I don't think of myself as a liar, but I found out differently this week. And you know, like just as an example, I'm a family doctor, and at work I have tons of little tasks to do, forms to complete, letters to write, notes to complete, people to talk to. It goes on, and it's kind of endless. And I am often not caught up with doing the things that I'm supposed to do. And sometimes when I get asked by patients or employees about that, I lie about it. And I say, oh, I've already done that. And then I go run and do it right away. Or I justify somehow, I just flat out lie about it sometimes and say that it's done when it's not done. And so I saw that at work a lot. I saw it at home. Was someone that's dear to me when sometimes I would be asked about, was I irritated? Was I impatient? And I lie about how I really feel. I deny it. And so I saw this over and over again, and it was uncomfortable. It was, in the email, it says, once you're in the work, you're never comfortable. And that, yeah, okay, there you go. But it was a good opportunity, obviously, to try to non-identify with that and to try to self-remember in that setting. And, you know, another thing it said in the email was, you know, you have this moment of suffering, and then relief follows. And I saw a little bit of that. Because I started to recognize it and see it coming. And I started to realize, well, like at work, I, I embellish stories. If I want to make a point about something, I've built up all these stories over the years that I tell my patients about, you know, their health or other things. And I came to see, you know, I don't need to add those embellishments in. Or if people ask me about things being done, I can bear the embarrassment of saying, I'm sorry, I haven't gotten to that. I haven't done that yet. And it's uncomfortable. And I feel guilty and I feel some shame about it. And I tend to justify about it. But, you know, the more I saw it and the more I could let it go and the more I could get a little bit of relief, and it just helped me to feel like I was just getting a little glimmer of real conscience. So that's what I got.
Thank you. Thank you, Todd. You are working, and each little glimmer that you get frees you. The work doesn't ask us to be perfect. The work doesn't ask us to be even good or right. The work asks us to just see it all, to see it all. And in seeing all of it, we are becoming free. So thank you so much for shining a light. Tamara.
So I was blessed with two beautiful pearls this week. And the first one was a very dear one in my life. I've always had some sort of a vision of how our relationship should be ever since I can remember. And I was coming out from a sit, and of course, when you come up from a sit, it's just, I feel so open to so many things. And then it just came to me, and I felt like it was a real kind of conscious or higher centers that came to me and said, you are not in control. And, you know, there are basically, it's okay. Everything's okay. And I felt so wonderful after that happened. I just felt like, you know, a weight was off my shoulders because I have been trying to manipulate this situation for so long, you know. So I felt so much love, and I just felt so much lighter, and I don't know. It was a real gift. So I think of pearls as now, I think of them as pearls of truth or pearls of wisdom, you know, as the saying goes. The second one is, which is kind of embarrassing, but I was in the grocery store, and I was trying to open up one of those bags. And this thought came up to me. This eye came in and said, oh my gosh, people are laughing at you. They're saying you look like an idiot trying to open that bag. And, you know, right when I heard that, I went, oh my gosh. And then it automatically came to me, the past, all these other times I'd heard that. Heard myself telling, you know, the eyes telling me that, oh, you look stupid. People are looking at you. They're laughing at you. You dropped that. You did this wrong, you know. And then I realized, oh my gosh. And so when I saw that, and I realized that it's a fear, I guess, which is unnecessary suffering for sure. And so I basically non-identified with it, self-remembered. And it was a beautiful moment in the middle of the grocery store. Thank goodness I had my mask on. Nobody would see me in awe. But it was beautiful because I realized there are so many times that in the past, and I could see it, I could even see it in the future. I mean, I could see it all. Hmm. You know, all these times that I've said, somebody's looking at me and laughing right now. So that was a great pearl of wisdom for me, and it was kind of laughable, but then also it was great wisdom for me. And you know, to self-remember helped me to feel the nothingness of myself, you know, and to see how kind of funny those eyes can be. And so that was another beautiful pearl of wisdom. So I got two. So it was really a great week.
Thank you, Tamara. Thank you so much. It's such a good example of the little things that can lead to puzzle box of understanding opening up, the way you said that you could see in the past and you could see in the future. This is an increase in consciousness. This is and conscience. So I love that you shared that, and that you know, you could laugh at it, and you had a moment of self-remembering in the middle of the grocery store. How wonderful. Thank you. Let's see. Mary Leia, please.
Hi. So the word pearl really resonated with me this week, and that image of the pearl being formed in the oyster. And the fact that that oyster is this silent receptacle of that pearl being grown was really such a visual for me. And I had a pearl this week, and it was the fact that, well, I'll first say that COVID has been like the oyster. This whole COVID situation has been like a huge oyster for me. Mm-hmm. It's the backdrop of quiet and emptiness where something can grow. And it has been this opportunity for everything else to cease and for me just to be in this encapsulated closed space that is called quarantine. And mm-hmm. so many things have been canceled in my life. The work that I do, clients have just said, not now. And other things have fallen away that has created this empty space for these pearls to grow. Mm-hmm. And so, and I've been aware of that openness and that spaciousness because of COVID for a few weeks, but the vision of this pearl growing in that openness and that emptiness and that darkness. And what happened this week was I came to see that very many times a pearl will start and a bit of work will start to percolate and take root. And then it'll just be over. I will lack the time or the dedication or the wish or the true intention to carry through with that little bit of seed pearl that has started. And so this week, I had an incident that was like a buffer came down and I saw something and I said, this is going to be a pearl. And I decided to keep this very secret, that I was going to work on this little bit of a pearl to see what would happen. And this is working against type, because typically what I would do is I would say to someone, a beloved who's also in the work, I would say, oh, I've got this great insight, and I would share it. And in so doing, I would take away some of that intensity that's needed to create that pearl. Mm. I would dissipate that energy. I would prematurely take that pearl out of the oyster, or like take the cake out of the oven before it's done, and then it would fall flat. And so I have two small little pearls that are inside. And a beloved who's in the work will not know about this, because I have made a vow to let this pearl grow until something of true value is there. Mm. So I am blessed by COVID. I am blessed by this work. I'm blessed by this community. And it's been a really good week.
Thank you so much, Mary Leia. I love that analogy. It's beautiful. I'm going to remember that. And it reminds me of the work octave too. So I would encourage everyone to go in the glossary, not now, later, and look up the work octave, because it talks a little bit about what you're talking about, how we see something and then it doesn't quite come through, and then we see it again, and then how we make that leap from the me-fa interval. And so I think
I wish for you and I pray for you that you will be making that leap. Thank you. Kieran, please.
Hi, I hope you can hear me.
Yes.
Today I've been trying to move away from an eye, a hurt eye. I physically hurt myself, my not able to walk. And so I've been using the welcoming prayer to not be in control, to not feel, to serve when I didn't feel like serving, but at times to not feel served, and to have some emotion around that, to know that I can't control things. Trying to move away from the emotional center to the physical, and then eventually to the intellectual. Trying not to not identify. This weekend I have some time to be alone and to sit and to not be able to move around, and there's empty space for me to, and I'm hoping and I'm wishing for that pearl. And so offering it up and welcoming. Thank you.
Amen, Karen. May it be so. We can all pray for you that it is. Thank you. Jack or Jackie, please.
Thank you, Mary Leah. Regarding the Pearl of Great Price is the work. And I was going to talk about, and I am going to talk about, sharing. And I remember a moment in time years and years ago, maybe 2 years into the work story, I guess, when Tim suggested, what if we just quit telling our story? It ran through my mind, all those individuals in the class that I was thinking, they're just telling their story. And then, whoa, I reflected and I went, I tell my story a lot. And and another gem, another pearl from Tim was, and I when I met with him about, I had taught the simple explanation of work ideas for a good number of years. I'm saying when I reveal these stories or these moments, I feel like I've lost something. And it may be a beloved, it may be 100 people who are tuned in tonight or whatever. But it's true. It's true that there is it is conscious labors and intentional suffering to share these things if they are for the good of the group or whoever, but it's for us. And so we've been gone a couple of weeks for various reasons, and I want to acknowledge Peter for just checking in with us, seeing if that thing, everything was okay. And that's another pearl of this community, another pearl of this sacred ground that my feet are grounded on at our house, but on this planet through this church. And I just am absolutely thunderstruck by the beauty and the reality of it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jack. We are truly, truly blessed. Well, on that note, I think we'll bring this part of the evening to an end and move on to the teaching. Pamela, would you please, yes, thanks. I would like to, someone mentioned the welcoming prayer, Kieran mentioned it, and it is a part of our homework. So I'm switching it up a little bit, and so we don't miss it. I would like for us to just take a moment to go over what this is, It is a profound gift that came to us. It is the work. It is self-observation, non-identification, and self-remembering. In many ways, it's a shortcut that we can use all day long. And so just in case, well, let's just close our eyes and we'll walk through the welcoming prayer together. This is a method of consenting to God's presence and action in our physical and emotional reactions to events and situations in daily life. The purpose of the welcoming prayer is to deepen our relationship with God through consenting in the ordinary activities of our day, consent on the go. So I ask us all to feel and sink into what you're experiencing this moment in our bodies. Perhaps there is tension in the stomach. Perhaps there is shallow breathing. Just feel into any tension. In the body. Sink into it. The second movement is to welcome what you're experiencing. This moment in your body as an opportunity to consent to the divine indwelling. Whatever thoughts, feelings, sensations, move toward welcome. And the third movement is to let go by saying, I let go of my desire for security, affection, control, and embrace this moment as it is. I let go of my desire for security, affection, control. I embrace this moment as it is. Amen. So this is truly useful for conscious labor and intentional suffering. This is the welcoming prayer is very much that. And some of the sharing tonight has really highlighted that in the moment, in the grocery store, in our homes with our beloveds, in washing the dishes, we can experience the welcoming prayer. We can experience conscious labor and intentional suffering. So Pamela, if you will share the next part of the document. Thank you. So conscious labor and intentional suffering. The email had many beautiful readings, but some of the things that stood out for me were that conscious labor and intentional suffering are the fruits of a surrendered, flowing, receptive will. And two distinct states and actions that manifest as self-love diminishes. So this takes it out of the realm of the to-do list. This takes it out of the realm of something that I can create through force of my will. Instead, they are the fruits of a surrendered, flowing, receptive will. They are states that can manifest in my life and actions that can manifest. I didn't do it, but I am open to being guided and moved as self-love diminishes. And through our conscious willingness to participate, they produce special energies that are required of us. And so I will just say, some of you experienced a little bit of that energy that is produced when we work, when we wish to work. And we're going to talk next week about the transformation of impressions. And we'll talk a little bit more about those energies. It's closely related to the three lines of the work and the fourth and fifth Oblongonian strivings. So if we remember, the three lines of the work are not only work on ourself, work for the sake of others, and work for the sake of the work. And then the fourth and fifth Oblongonian strivings, the fourth striving is the beginning, the striving to pay for our lives, the gift of our lives, and to lighten the suffering of our common father. It's out of gratitude for the life we've been given. We make payment for our development. And so we work not only for our development, but in service to the unfolding of the whole. The fifth striving is to assist the most rapid perfecting of other beings. And so that's already been referred to this evening too by Jack. This is the idea is that we share and we do conscious labor and intentional suffering. We do all of our work because we know that in doing our own work, it energetically affects all of us. And this relates to the work idea of conscious love. That conscious labor and intentional suffering always involves payment and sacrifice. There is conscious suffering in even doing the welcoming prayer. Can you experience that? Most of the time, we want to run away from these feelings in our body, these emotions that might be coming up. We want to do anything we can to avoid it, to push it down, to whether it's have a glass of wine or just work harder or do any number of distractions from it. We are moving toward. So there is conscious suffering in that. And they always involve expansion of conscience and consciousness. So we have new perceptions and new understanding of ourselves and others. We make present sacrifices and restraints upon our desires and impulses in the present in service to the future. So we can see that just being here tonight, I mean, parts of our personality would probably want to watch something on TV or scroll the news apps or something like that. So this is what we do in the work is that is we make conscious restraints on these desires and impulses in the present time in service to the future. So we can always ask, what is my motivation? How and why? So we even see that as Tamara pointed out, we can do the dishes out of a sense of obligation, out of a sense of, let's just get this done so I can go on to the next thing. Or we can sink into the present moment and just be with the dishes, be present to it. And we do it without regard to the fruits of our actions, reward, praise, recognition. We may not know, for instance, when we share, we may have a whole idea of what that's going to sound like when we share, and then, you know, how I'm going to help others or how I'm going to transform myself or whatever. We non-identify with that and we just go to it. And the truth of the matter is, I can't really tell you how many times I've shared and then later said, say the main point of my sharing. And we let go and we realize that we don't know how our sharing touches others. We don't know how it contributes to our own work. And then we have the opportunity to non-identify with all of those eyes that come up after our sharing. The sower sows the seed in hope, but unconcerned with who will reap the harvest, because the future is the realm of creation. It is open to be created while the present is closing up, perishing, coming to an end. And I heard I read about the abolitionists that for decades before slavery was abolished, there were people trying to work toward the abolishment of slavery. And many of them knew that this probably wouldn't happen in their own lifetimes. And yet they did what they did out of service to the future. So if you can move down, there's a quotation from Nisargadatta Maharaj. I have two quotations from him that just came to me in the last 2 days. This shows us how we are given everything we need, as Marianne said. And this spoke to me. Indifferent to results, you are willing to work with the most inadequate means. You do not care to be much gifted and well-equipped, nor do you ask for recognition and assistance. You just do what needs to be done, leaving success and failure to the unknown. So let's move on to intentional suffering. So what is intentional suffering? Well, first let's talk about the different types of suffering that were listed in the email, and I will just go over them very quickly. Unnecessary or useless suffering, which is identification arising from self-importance and concerns with me and mine. Unavoidable suffering from events beyond our control, war, disaster, disease, death, pandemic. Voluntary suffering, to accomplish a life aim, such as a student striving to graduate. Intentional suffering. We willingly work to serve an impersonal or altruistic vision, one that is directed more towards service to others or to the work, and not for any personal gain. And again, even our personal work does do second line and third line work, because I don't know where this came from. I don't know if it was Dr. Nickel or Mr. G or Svensky who said this, but we do a third of it goes to God, a third of it goes to our brothers and sisters in the work, and we get to keep a third of it. So intentional suffering, we willingly engage in conscious labors. So you can see how these two are so often tied together. It also involves pain and suffering, inconvenience and difficulty. Without intentional suffering, conscious labors will become dry and empty. So when we see the good of it for ourselves and others, we can will it. And so we can move toward it. So we must, we notice when we do conscious labors that it's going to bring up everything in us that feels inadequate, not good enough, not prepared. Why did they pick me? Why did they ask me to do this? Why am I sharing? And this is part of the purification of emotional center. This is where we get to self-observe, non-identify, and self-remember. This is where we get to sacrifice our negative emotions. So we get to, intentional suffering is concerned with the body, the issues in the tissues. It is the willingness to move toward the discomfort with acceptance. And we already experience the welcoming prayer. So I don't know if there's more, Pamela. Okay, this is the homework. So perhaps we can stop sharing now. And it's a miracle. For the first time ever, I've gotten through the sharing, the teaching, without feeling like I've rushed or that I've left something out. So thank you, God. And let's see if we have any comments or questions about any of that from anyone. We have Jack and Jackie. Jackie, thank you.
Good evening. Thank you, Lori. When I opened my email this morning at 5, I was delighted to see our work for the week. Because conscious labor and intentional suffering is such a fruitful field to work in always. It's difficult, but it's always fruitful. And one thing that I remembered as I was reading the material was ora et labora in Latin, that the monastics, the monks, understood that they had to ora, pray, and then work, ora et labora, in that order. And for the first time, I really saw the order of it. I would sort of blend those two things in together and often reverse the order of them, labor first, and then, oh yeah, I could prayerfully consider this. But today, I just knew that my aim had to be literally the Latin, ora et labora, for the day. And I had a long work day ahead of me. Remote work, I'm working harder than I think I've ever worked before. And what I was doing was I was reviewing new cases and approving or not approving them as they were coming into my agency. And normally they expect us to rubber stamp approval on things. And normally I do that, frankly. And I worked for hours and hours and hours, and my energy was lagging. And then suddenly something came into me that required my conscious labor. And I realized, because my aim was prayerful labor today, that there was a presence with me as this impression came into me that normally would not have been there, that allowed me to have an arm's length relationship with the incoming impression so that I could really see it. And it allowed me to listen to the spirit telling me I could not approve what I was being asked to approve, that we were basically being asked to harm a professional that we serve, that we regulate, with insufficient evidence to do that. And in order for me to say no to that, I would have to basically write a little brief and justify my resistance to that. And normally the energy around that would be crazy energy. But because I was in a state of will to God in that moment, it was very easy for me to see exactly what all the pieces were that had to be there, that the audience that I had to speak to had to hear these pieces, and I had to put it in language they could hear, not condescending, not beating them over the head with a stick, which is my typical way of doing things, but because I really needed them to hear me. And it took a long time. I lost no energy. I was actually gaining energy as I was doing this because I was on the energy that wasn't even mine. It was being given to me from a higher place, and it was very fine. And I calculated second force every step of the way. I could see I'm going to get pushback here, I might even lose my job on this. But I realized there was no choice here. Just like every other time in my life when the Holy Spirit has handed me something, and my job is to just say yes and to step into it, it is so simple. And I sent that out. It was the last thing I did in my workday today. And I realized the beauty of true conscious labor, maybe for the first time in my life. It's not just working. I'm a good little worker. My personality can mechanically be the best machine in the world. But to be under God at the time that I'm laboring is quite rare. And at all costs, I don't care. And so I am so grateful. This is going to be an incredible week. Thank you.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much, Jackie. Yes. You know, one of the things that the gift of this COVID has been for me is that it's this sense of preciousness of each little interaction and each little activity. And the thought is, you know, I don't know, this could be the last dish I wash. This could be the last meal I cook. This could be the last time I pet my dog or word I write. And so this lends a deep meaning to everything when seen that way. And so I had a situation, this week for me has been a very interesting and will continue to be for the next couple of weeks, as you shared, will be a very full. So I had an email that was due that to our beloved, the beloved co-writers to finish, and then leading tonight's class, next week's class, and then leading the forgiveness prayer retreat starting the next day, and then leading the following class, and somewhere in there probably need to begin writing the next email. And I was talking with my journey group last night and said, you know, started sharing this, and I said, so who's, we're trading off who's leading our group, and I said, so who's sharing, who's leading next week? And they said, you are. And I thought, I just laughed and said, of course I am, you know. And amen, hallelujah, you know, it's almost a gift to realize you have too much to do. Yes, you have too much for you to do. Good thing I'm not doing it. Good thing. And in the midst of all this, yesterday or the day before, I was really in the thick of it, and a beloved came to sit by me and wanted to talk. And I thought, yes, I want to talk. And we talked for an hour and a half, and we shared deeply, and it was good. And then I went back to it with joy and gratitude. This could be the last time I talk to this beloved. You know, everything becomes so precious. So thank you, Jackie. Unmute yourself, Jackie.
Okay. You're unmuted.
There you go.
There I go. Sorry. And the difference between useless suffering and suffering one's suffering is in the case that I had today, normally I would end something by fretting that I did it wrong or that I should have stood up for what was right better, or I normally would be losing energy at the end of labor where I did not simply turn it over to God. And so today I got to suffer my suffering. I just let it all go. And it was a fundamentally different experience. It was a lot. I was alive once.
Amen. Thank you. Oh, we have time for Paco and then Tamara.
Hello. The idea of intentional suffering is coming at an ideal time for me. I've been preparing myself for a meeting. I'm part of a collaborative effort among a lot of folks who were very focused on a collective mission. And that mission is not about racial equity per se, but I felt very, very moved to speak out. And in fact, next Wednesday, so I have 6 days to prepare myself with the idea of intentional suffering at play. I will be speaking out on this, not in a confrontational way, but in a way to spur, I think, what will be challenging discussions for a lot of folks. And I felt very identified with how this will go and kind of wondering what the response will be to what I say. So I'm being called to non-identify here. And I also think there will be a real opportunity for both sort of external considering for that community of people, but also for those who aren't present in that moment and who aren't at the table because of this issue, and also those who come long after us. So it really struck me as you were teaching, Lori, and I think of the common saying about how we, you know, when you plant a tree, you're planting that shade, it's shade for future generations. Mm-hmm. And so all this is coming together in a very timely way for me.
Thank you so much, Paco. And we all hold you in prayer for your wish and for your meeting. Thank you for your willingness. Amen. Tamara, it needs to be short, Tamara.
Yes, absolutely. I'll make it really short. So I was thinking about when I first started the church and I heard the word suffering, and I didn't like the word suffering. And I know a lot of people have, you know, bad connotations with the word suffering, but you know, over the years, I have learned so much about conscious suffering. And that is, and I know you're not supposed to work for results, but I have to say my level of being when I am working and when I'm doing my centering prayer gives me so much love and so much lightness and makes my life so much, you know, lighter and clearer. So I just have to say that one thing about suffering, and that I've learned to love conscious suffering and because it, you know, it doesn't bring results, but I feel it. So
yes, thank you so much for saying that. The little quotation at the end of the email is, I slept and I dreamt that life was joy. I awoke and saw that life was duty. I worked and behold, duty was joy. Thank you. So let's share the homework. There it is. Yes. So the essence of, this is the other quote by a Maharaj that came serendipitously. The essence of saintliness is total acceptance of the present moment, harmony with things as they happen. A saint does not want things to be different from what they are. He knows that considering all factors, they are unavoidable. The saint is friendly with the inevitable and therefore does not suffer. Pain he may know, but it does not shatter him. If he can, he does what is needful to restore the lost balance, or he lets things take their course. And our homework is to choose one area of your life to practice conscious labor or intentional suffering, non-critically observe patterns of useless suffering, non-identify and self-remember, and use the welcoming prayer whenever possible. Thank you. Marianne, are you there?
I am. I've been to India and back. Thank you, Lori, and friends. This is wonderful. Wonderful. So a closing word, an opportune word from our friend Rodney Collin. There are so many grand things to think about. There is no time to be muddled. There is no time to think about ourselves. We must think, I am doing this for those who are to come. Then our thinking is unlimited. But if we think of ourselves and say, what have I done? What mistakes have I made? We limit ourselves. We must not be limited. We must realize that we are instruments, and there is no limit to what can be done through us if we do not think it is ourselves who are doing. None of our errors have killed us. If we take them to learn from them, it is good. Ignorance means that the light has not come to us. Sleep means that we have not sought the light. If we work always for our neighbor, we will become wise, and then we will know what is necessary to reflect. So let us go forth, our friends, this week. And let us join together in praying aloud, wherever we are, the prayer of God's love. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed I am to simply remember God. Protect us, Lord, while we are awake. Watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and asleep rest in Christ's peace. Amen.